tuning in to our Neighborhood Church podcast. Join us on Sunday at any of our locations. To learn more about our church, visit neighborhoodchurch.com or download our church app.
My name is Mike, one of the pastors here, and I hope your Easter week was encouraging. I know it was for me. As we were here on Good Friday, a week ago Friday, we were here, and what a wonderful time it was, remembering the impact of Jesus's death on the cross and listening to the words of the song. For me, Jesus paid it all. I heard again the truth that Jesus gave his life for us, for me, so I could really live. And again, to renew the resolve to live each day as a thank you to him for what he's done for me. And then on Serve Saturday, we served our community with this program called Loads of Love, which is where we go and take over a laundromat and pay for everybody's laundry that was there. I heard the gratitude and saw the joy, and it fired me up to love more like Jesus. Then Easter Sunday. Woo! Yeah, Easter Sunday. What a joy and a celebration over the resurrection of Jesus. That resurrection validates and verifies Jesus' teaching. And oh man, whoo, was I pumped. When we sang that song, Christ Be Magnified, I heard the challenge to live a life where people see how awesome and amazing and huge and magnificent Jesus is. What did you hear this Easter season? If you're online, maybe even write some things in the chat there. If you're here in person, maybe just think through some things that you got from your time here at Easter or wherever you were at Easter. See, what we hear is important. As we prepare for a test, it's important that we hear what we study so we can do well. It's important to hear instructions for our jobs, for filling out our taxes, for fixing our cars, for assembling something from IKEA, following a recipe, adhering to prescriptions and doctor's orders, understanding what people say and how they feel so we can relate better. What we hear and how we act upon that matters. Like the time when I was first got my driver's license at 16 and got my car, my 67 Ford Mustang. It had power after I worked on it a bit, but I knew that the first thing I needed to do was probably change the oil. So I didn't really know that much about cars at that moment. I mean, I'd watched my dad and had seen some things, and so I knew that I needed to change the oil. So I figured I wasn't going to look at any book or really talk to anybody. I just figured I'd figure it out myself. So I went into the car, got a big giant oil pan, loosened the oil plug, let the oil drain in, and I thought that's exciting. Then I went and did a few other things, and then I began to fill the oil, and I was standing there on top of the engine filling the oil, and I noticed that I looked underneath the car, and oil was spilling out all over the driveway, a lot of oil. Can you figure out what I didn't do? Yeah, I forgot to put the oil plug back in. What a dipstick. Anyway, that wasn't bad because a friend of mine was doing the same thing. We were kind of doing this. He was doing it at his house, and I was doing it at my house, and he called me up, and he said, Mike, I can't believe this. You know, the directions say you're only supposed to put 5 quarts of oil in there, and I must have put 6 or 7 or 8 until it actually came out the oil spout where I was putting it in. Now, if you know anything about cars, you're not supposed to put that much oil in there. See, who and what we listen to is important. It's kind of like this Alexa app. You guys know what this is? This is Alexa. Hi, Alexa, how are you? Well, you're not answering me today? Hey, Alexa, what's the weather like today?
In Cyprus, it's 63 degrees Fahrenheit with cloudy skies. Today, you can look for intermittent clouds with a high of 74 degrees and a low of 56 degrees.
Hey, Alexa, who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl this year?
In Super Bowl 55, the Chiefs were favored by 3 points but lost by 22, losing to the Buccaneers 9-31.
Okay, that was the past one, but anyways, this Alexa app, this puck is supposed to do its job is to listen to you and respond. Also, any of you have a smartphone or a iPhone, it listens to you as well. Who do you talk to when you talk to this? So you say, "Hey Siri, how are you doing?"
Asking.
How did she know to listen to that? Hey, Siri, where's the closest Krispy Kreme donuts? Siri? Hello, Suri. Hey, Suri. Where's the closest Krispy Kreme donuts?
The closest one I found is Krispy Kreme Donuts on East Los Coyotes Diagonal in Long Beach. Does that one sound good?
Oh, that one sounds awesome. That's where I'm going afterwards.
Glad to help.
Yeah, that's great. Well, see, these products are designed to listen when you give the right instructions. And like these are designed. Matter of fact, did you know that your cell phone is listening to you all the time? You know how I know that? Christy and I were actually talking about, you know, we need to get a new dishwasher. And I said, we need to get a new dishwasher. And I was somewhere in the presence of my phone or some other device that's always, maybe my watch that's always listening to me. And lo and behold, I'm scrolling through my Facebook feed and what pops up? Appliances on sale. I'm doing a Google search and all of a sudden, all these appliance ads show up because they're listening. By the way, if you don't want your phone to listen to you, just put it face down. Now you know something new. But as these products are listening, they're designed, manufactured to listen, so are we. Jesus wants us to listen to him, to encounter him and really hear what he has to say, hearing intentionally and intensely so we put into action what he is teaching. Jesus talked a lot about hearing, and his disciples were challenged in a whole area of listening. And actually, in Mark chapter, the Gospel of Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 9, he talks about listening. He mentions listening like different types of soil. When the seeds of Jesus' truth are thrown out, people react differently. Some soils or some listeners are hard and don't choose to listen at all. Some only listen when life is settled and calm. Some stop listening as Jesus' teachings are not as important as other priorities of life. But there are those who really do want to hear and are attentive to Jesus' teaching because, excuse me, it's a choice. That's why Jesus said in Mark 4, 9, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, one of the most important times to listen is when Jesus to listen to Jesus is when the storms hit, those storms of anxiety hit. And yes, storms of anxiety have been continuing to increase a lot these days, right? I mean, probably the number one is anything related to COVID. Issues around those, issues with the government, issues with the surrounding violence and racism and horrible way people are treated. There's also those personal storms of anxiety as we process pains and sickness and finances and family and friends and our own unrest in life. How do we deal with this anxiety? Well, the answer is found as we draw near to Jesus and choose to listen to him. And in Mark chapter 4, after that part about the soils, way down in verse 35 to 41, as the disciples face a sudden storm, four challenges are given, or really three challenges are given on how to find calm even in a storm. So I'd like for us to look at that, those three challenges as in this unique encounter with Jesus. For storms, calm, as we have ears to hear the settling truths of Jesus. So before we launch into it, if you wouldn't mind standing up, let's pray and ask God to encourage us and challenge us this morning. Father God, thank you for bringing us here, whether we're here in person or here online. Lord, we know that you have something to say to us, a challenge, an encouragement, maybe even to draw us closer in relationship with you. And so, God, I pray that you would use this moment, use this time, and allow us to gain from whatever you want us to gain as we spend this time together in your word. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I encourage you that if you are here in our audience, grab the worship folder that you received. There's an outline inside there that you can fill in some blanks. If you're online, there's a QR code that we saw earlier. Maybe it'll pop up in a moment that you can scan that and go down and even look at downloadable and printable outline you can use, or just get a piece of paper and write down some things that are there so that you can learn. The idea is that we want you to use this sermon as a launch pad for some study throughout this week. Taking a look at some of the extra verses, taking a look at some of the themes that we talk about. We have a section in on our webpage called Revive. In there, there's a lot of material, whether there's public publications or there's also a podcast you can listen to throughout the week, just to help you as you continue to study, as we walk through our study together. I think you'll be encouraged as you do. But there's an interesting truth about storms. They reveal a lot. They bring to surface what's inside when we face different storms in life. Storms reveal if our heart is full of trust or doubt. A storm reveals how we view the Lord. And a storm gives us insights to our own faith. A storm shows what or who we're really listening to. And a storm can also sharpen our hearing, specifically our hearing to Jesus. And Jesus wants us to draw near to him and to listen a lot better than Alexa did today. Yes, you aren't even shining your blue light anymore. Alexa, are you listening? Yeah, well, whatever. Perfect. That was perfect timing. No, I'm not. She was answering, no, are you asleep? She was saying, no, I'm wide awake. I don't know if you heard that. But Jesus wants us to draw near to him and listen. For an incredible and even miraculous calm can come over us, even in the midst of a raging storm. See, storms calm as we have ears to hear the settling truths of Jesus. Well, the first of these three challenges to encountering Jesus in the face of storm is to listen up. There's a test. So take your Bible, if you have it with you, and you can open up to Mark chapter 4. We'll be looking at verses 35 to 41. This is what it says. On that day, when evening had come, he, that's Jesus, says, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats there were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so the boat was already filled. And when it says, on that day actually started way back in Mark chapter 3. It was full, an intense day. Jesus and the group were busy and stretched, and Jesus had gone through a lot of difficult and even emotional strains and ordeals, and much tension had been raised. There were issues with the Pharisees. They actually wanted to destroy him. Mark chapter 3, verses 1 to 6 talk about. Throngs of people wanted and needed healing, and they were pressing in on Jesus, as Mark 3, 7 to 12 talks about. There were issues with family. Jesus' family thought that Jesus was actually crazy. In Mark chapter 3, verses 20 to 21, they wanted to take him away. And there were more issues with Pharisees. They're saying that Jesus is not of God, but of the devil in Mark chapter 3, verses 22 to 30. A lot was going on that time. The storm, emotional storm, had already begun. And the teaching from the boat, Jesus was there. He was actually in a boat, and the people were on the shore. And they took him in the boat just as he was. They said, you know, he's teaching on the boat. Jesus said, let's go around. He just turned around, and they began to take off. They went to the other side of the lake. Now, it does mean other side, the literal other side of the Sea of Galilee where they were, but it also means the other side of experiences. Let's go, Jesus is saying, and experience a test that's going to rock you a bit. See, life is full of other side storms. In the Bible book of Ecclesiastes, written by King Solomon, one of the wisest men that ever will live besides Jesus, he talks about how there's different seasons in life, a time for this and a time for that. And it seems like in each area of life, there is another side. The other side of birth is death. The other side of health is sickness. The other side of laughter is sorrow. The other side of dancing is mourning. The other side of saving is giving away. The other side of wealth is poverty. The other side of holding on to is releasing. We experience a lot of other side storms. And you may be sitting here today or sitting online, and there may be some storms, some other side storms you are facing. What are those other side storms? See, and like this storm the disciples were facing, storms can be sudden. A sudden job loss, a sudden heartache, a sudden tragedy. They can be sudden. Mark says here it was a great windstorm. Literally, it means fierce. Waves were breaking over the boat. It was a hurricane-like wind. And if you've been around the Sea of Galilee, you know that there's a valley that shoots in on one side, and the wind just comes whipping through there and creates gale force winds. And the sea does upturn, and it can become quite violent. Actually, Matthew, when he describes this event, in the Gospel of Matthew, he says violent storms arose in Matthew chapter 8, verse 24. The word violent is the Greek word seismos. What does that sound like to you? Something related to earthquakes. Yes, it comes where our word earthquake comes from. And for Matthew, it was like the sea was shaking. These tests are not from God, the Lord being mean or vindictive. They are tests. They are trials. They are workouts used by God to train and to teach and to guide. I know we've looked at this Bible verse before, but I would encourage you to go ahead and turn over to the Bible book of James. James, it's a little ways from where you are in the New Testament. Just keep going east, you'll find it. James chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. It says this, verse 2 to 5. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you meet various trials, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Another word for steadfastness is the word endurance. And let endurance, steadfastness, have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. They are workouts. These tests, these storms, these trials that come, that God allows them to come into our life. God uses them when they come into our life to actually strengthen us. Verse 5, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given. God will definitely give us help and wisdom in that storm. And life is full of these tests, full of these storms. And in these, we need to listen up. First, to know Jesus is in the boat with us and that we are not alone. You know, one of the probably the first things we feel when we face these other side storms is we feel isolated and alone. We need to remind ourselves of the truth of God's word that we're not. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. The them is those other side storms that we face. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Have ears to hear this. And please know, whatever storm or trouble or issue that you're going through, God is with you. Jesus is right there in the boat. What we go through is not unknown to him, nor is Jesus unaware. He sees you and he knows you. And though at times it seems like he's sleeping, a lot like this scene that we're going to unfold in a moment, but we need to know that as Psalm 121:8 says, the Lord is watching over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. Hear this. Listen in. Let it soak in. For the storms calm as we have ears to hear the settling truths of Jesus. Let these trials cause you to lean in and seek to encounter Jesus at a deeper level. Because remember, storms, tests, reveal what's inside. Like with this next challenge in encountering Jesus in the face of life's storms, we are to listen to our anxiety. These storms face anxiety. Go back to Mark chapter 4 again, and let's look back at verse 38. It says, but he, Jesus, remember the waves are breaking over the boat in verse 37, verse 38, but he, Jesus, was in the stern asleep on a cushion, and they woke him and said, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? These guys are thinking that they're going to die, anxiety at its highest level. Now, what's interesting about this is that many of them were seasoned fishermen. You'd think they kind of know how to kind of weather a storm a bit, but they were scared. Jesus is sleeping? Does he not care? That question reveals a lot. See, storms bring up deep feelings that are normal and natural. And when Jesus rebukes them, he's not rebuking the fact that they are feeling these feelings, but the question that he asked. Because that question reveals a lot. Because we're going to face storms. John 16:33, Jesus was clear in saying that in life you will have tribulation. But these storms of anxiety will also squeeze what's inside, like with these guys. And the question, do you not care? They didn't ask, Jesus, save us, or Jesus, help us, or Jesus, what do we do? What does that say about their view of Jesus? Maybe they just saw Jesus as a cool miracle worker or someone who would give them free stuff or boost their image. They had not gotten to the place of faith where belief in Jesus is enough to handle life's anxieties. See, we get anxious when we are not receiving something we believe we deserve. We can believe we deserve no issues, no hardships, no struggles, or deserve a certain level of influence or notoriety or relationships or possessions. And we get anxious. That storm raises when we don't get what we feel we deserve. That anxiety is saying we are looking at other places, not Jesus, to bring life fulfillment, peace, satisfaction, and calm. Because you see, Philippians 4:19 is clear. It says, all our needs will be met in Christ Jesus. Matthew 6:33 says, life aligns when we seek first the kingdom of God. That's Jesus on the throne of our life. And as Matthew 11:28 says, that there is rest when the yoke and the life of Jesus come, when we come under that yoke, when we come under Jesus' way of life. What is your anxiety revealing? When those storms of anxiety rage, they can reveal that we're placing hope in something else more than Jesus. And yet our anxiety, they're calmed when we are listening to the power of Jesus and letting that truth soak into our life. For storms calm as we have ears to hear the settling truths of Jesus. And it's a process. It's a process to understand the reality of who Jesus is and let that truth soak down into our life that we can stand and not be anxious when these storms come. Yes, we feel the feelings we do, but yet anxiety can be calmed as we know the truth of Jesus. Like this next challenge in encountering Jesus in the face of life's storm is to listen to the power of Jesus. Let's look at verses 39 to 41. And he, Jesus, awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? They were filled with great fear and said to one another, who is this then that even the wind and the sea obey him? When Jesus said, peace, be still, that's a very interesting word because it basically means shut it or muzzle it. It's the same word that Jesus used when dealing with a demon in Mark chapter 1, verse 25, as a demon kept spouting out words, Jesus said, be still, muzzle it, shut it. Because Jesus has that kind of power. See, and actually, where Jesus was going on the other side of the lake, he was going to encounter a man filled with a legion of demons. And Jesus exercised out those demons because Jesus has that kind of power. See, Jesus is not only human that he needed some sleep and was so tired that the storm did not wake him. But we also have to remember that he is all-powerful God who can speak and the wind listens to him. The heavens listen to Jesus. Jesus speaks with the authority of Creator God, for he spoke it all into being. Write down somewhere in your notes, Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 17. It speaks of Jesus speaking all this into being because he is the great holder togetherer of everything. Jesus has the authority even over death. Like when he called forth Lazarus from the tomb. Some of you remember the story. If you want to write it down, you got to read it. It's John chapter 15, verses 28 to around verse 44. Jesus gets word that his good friend Lazarus is sick and almost to die. Well, instead of rushing there, he waits a while just to make sure he's dead and Lazarus dies. He goes and sees Mary and Martha. They're crying. He's overtaken with emotion with them and he cries too and he says, take me to the tomb. They walk to the tomb. It's been some time now and Jesus says, roll away the stone. And they say to him, Jesus, he's been in the tomb for a while. You know, it's going to smell a bit. He goes, open the tomb. Staring at the tomb, he says, Lazarus, come out. And all of a sudden, here comes Lazarus, kind of like a, you know, a walking mummy with all the grave clothes all over him. But I've always wondered, as I've read that passage, why didn't Jesus just didn't say, come out? See, I believe if Jesus would have just said, come out, that whole graveyard would be walking. People would be scratching at their tombs to try to get out because he has that kind of power. Jesus has that power, and the resurrection of Jesus, we just celebrated last Sunday, validates it and verifies it. Jesus' power is limitless. It is unbounded, immeasurable, and has no end. Jesus is almighty, as Revelation 1:8 says, who is God himself. Jesus is the bread of life, as John 6:32 says, who provides. Jesus is the good shepherd, as John 10:11 says, who cares and guides. Jesus is counselor, as Isaiah 9:6 says, who feels with us and the strife that we go through and the issues we go through. He is deliverer, as Romans 11:26 says, who saves us. He is Emmanuel, as Isaiah 7:14 says, who is God with us. And he is the King of kings, and he's the Lord of lords, as 1 Timothy 6:15 says, who has ultimate authority. That's Jesus. And there is so much more we could talk about. We could continue talking from now all the way through eternity, and we still would never explain all of who Jesus is. If they were to be written in volumes, they would mount up and continue to climb. Because the truth is, the study of all of who Jesus is and his power is inexhaustible. There is no end. Hear his power and live in light of it. Now know this. His power is not ours to choose how it gets used. Jesus did not heal everybody, nor did he bring everyone back to life, nor did he calm every storm. But honestly, knowing Jesus is with us can calm any storm. Because he's there. He's guiding. He's directing. And whatever storm we have to go through, he's right there with us. All-powerful Jesus, almighty, bread of life, good shepherd, counselor, deliverer, Emmanuel, King of kings, Lord of lords. That's Jesus. And you wonder why he rebuked him when they said, don't you care? Of course he cares. Hear Jesus. Hear his power. And let it bring that calming reality to the anxiousness of your heart. See, for the storms calm as we have ears to hear the settling truths of Jesus. We can be better than Alexa. Very much so. And an iPhone. In listening. So choose to have ears that hear, especially in the storms of anxiety. For storms calm as we have ears to hear the settling truths of Jesus. So let's listen up, because there's going to be a test. And let's listen in to our own anxieties. And then let's listen to the power of Jesus. We choose what we listen to. And we can develop better listening skills. It takes practice. It takes the ability to tune in to hear Jesus's voice. Now, Jesus never speaks to me audibly, but I can get that sense, and I've tried to tune in more and more to him. We each have that same ability. And that's the challenge, to listen to our Savior and Lord, Jesus. Will you pray with me? Father God, thank you for just the truth of your word today, this interesting encounter with these disciples on this incredibly rough sea, and yet here you are in all of your power, calming bringing calm to even their own troubled hearts. They learned it later, to listen to you. God, help us to listen. To listen up, to listen in, to listen to you. There's so many voices out there that want our attention. God, help us to tune into you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus has some good things to say. His teachings are incredible. They're worth listening to. Boy, take that moment, take that challenge this week and tune in to Jesus.